We definitely have a joyous occasion that we get to spend this time. If you, you know, for any of the ministry that have the opportunity to stand up and be a part of a baby blessing, it's probably it's the coolest thing that we get to do as ministry, I think, sometimes. I want you to kind of think and kind of draw your minds in a little bit to why do we bless a baby? Why do we ask? As parents, why do we ask to have a baby blessed? Why do we feel it's important for a baby to be blessed? I know my comments really doesn't matter because you're looking at Lainey, and it's hard not to see the beauty of this little baby, not you. You know, as a uncle, it's truly an honor to have the opportunity to stand up here. As a servant, it's truly an honor to stand up here. I want to reference 3 Nephi, the 8th chapter and the 25th verse. And as they looked to behold, they cast their eyes towards heaven, and they saw the heavens open, and they saw angels descending out of heavens, as it were, in the midst of fire. And they came down and encircled those little ones about. And I think this is a really an important verse, and this is one that I love, and this is one that I think of a lot. When I think about, even as a parent, when I worry about my own kids, I think of this verse. And as they looked to behold, they cast their eyes towards heaven, and they saw the heavens open up. And they saw angels descending out of heaven, as it were, in the midst of fire. And they came down and encircled those little ones about. I'm drawn to this word, encircled. You know, how cool is it that there is this, for my sermon today, actually, I tried to find this picture. I found one, but I didn't really like it as much. But think about this picture of this encircling and this protection. As I think about Lainey and the future that she has, what sin has she faced in her life today? None. There is no sin. There's simple perfection, right? There's simple beauty in a little baby that's born and a baby that has the opportunity to be blessed and ultimately a baby that has such a huge life in front of her. And how exciting is it that that little life, that she can be protected, that she can be encircled about. You know, it was just a few weeks ago, I got to assist David in the blessing of Macy. And that same encircling and that same protection that's provided to every one of our own children, that's provided to us. The difference is we have influences that come into our life and they change us and they affect us. But how awesome is it, the perfection of a little baby and the perfection of this promise that we have, that this encircling and this protection is given unto them. I am going to reference a little bit later, and I want to reference it here again. 2 Nephi, the 3rd chapter, the 56th verse. O Lord, wilt thou encircle me around in the robe of thy righteousness? Psalms 91, the 11th verse. For he shall give his angels charge over thee in all thy ways. So, hypothetically speaking, would Lainey be blessed if she wasn't blessed? Would she still be protected? I believe so. Absolutely, I believe that. I believe that Lainey, this isn't her first week in the world, and you know, as I look upon Lainey's older brother and older sister, I see the protection that they've had in their life. Now, they've been blessed, both blessed as babies and the ordinance that we perform, but also blessed in their lives. Each of us have been blessed. We have that encircling. We have that protection. For we know that where we draw that upon, and this is ultimately the point that I want to drive at, where do we draw on that protection? Where do we draw on that encircling and that protection that we have in our lives, but through our Heavenly Father? And so when we join together and when we hold Lainey up here and my dad's going to offer a prayer, he's going to offer a prayer in this blessing. I would encourage each of you to join us in this prayer. Pray for Lainey. Pray for that protection that she can have. Pray for Reese and for Graham and Cameron, Millie, Lily, you know, Macy. Pray for me. Pray for Bob. Pray for each one of us that we have that protection in our lives. Because the difference is we've experienced things, we've scraped our knees, we've stumbled, we've fallen, we're still here today. You know, this little baby has a bright future in front of her and has that opportunity to draw on the Lord. And our opportunity is how we encourage her, how we strengthen her, how we encourage her parents, how we encourage her grandparents and her loved ones, how we encourage each other. Is we each have that encircling, but we each know something and we have the ability that Lainey can't do. We can get down our knees and we can pray. And we're going to teach her how to pray. Mark the 10th chapter, starting the 13th verse. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. So it is with great joy and great honor that I get to assist in this service and be a part of this. My prayer is that the Lord will send his angels to encircle Lainey, that he'll encircle each of us, and that our opportunity or our challenge or our responsibility as witnessing as a part of this is that we would each join in prayer at this time and that we would continue to remember Lainey and all of her life and the opportunities that she has in front of her.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. With thankful hearts, God, we come before thy throne of grace that we have been blessed with the privilege of this ordinance, that in confident expectation we may surrender all our children unto thee with the knowledge and the affirming faith that you are good and for your promises and for thy words. And in your scriptures you have promised to embrace Lainey throughout all of her life, that she may be held close to your bosom and raised in this world with the joy and the knowledge that she is bringing herself closer to thee. And so therefore, O God, the eternal Father, we come before thee to see the fulfillment of your precious words when it says and promises us that this precious child will be embraced by our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has accepted the responsibility for each of the children that are brought forth. Therefore, Heavenly Father, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we would pray unto thee at this time that Lainey Bella Oldham would be added to the book of life and joy and eternity, that as that lamb, she may look forward to receiving even the knowledge and the affirming opportunity to surrender her life unto thee and to be the acceptable recipient of the love and the joy that Jesus himself desires to be in her life. Protect her parents, protect her brother and sister, that they may be engrossed in the joy and the knowledge that your promises are throughout all time and eternity. And give unto them the ability to raise this precious child, even unto thee. Therefore, without reservation, without apprehension, but because of thy great love, we do pray in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that Lainey Bella would be embraced always, guided and instructed completely. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, a wonderful ordinance there. It's a pleasure to be up here with my brother Jeff this morning. You know, Jeff is a friend. He's a fellow, we'll call ourselves pickleball champions. pickleball players. The last couple of weeks, we've been getting together with young guys in the church and playing pickleball. And I'm the old one. And I think that's because Jeff likes me there because I'm older than him. But we're friends. But most of all, I know that we both have that love for our God and that we want to serve our God. And I know Jeff has the desire to bring that message this morning, whatever God has placed on his heart that will make us better people, that we might desire to serve him in our lives. So I ask that you might give him a smile. If you have your scriptures, follow along. Your phone, follow along. But just do whatever, draw your minds in, do whatever is going to make us better people when we leave here. You know, so listen to what our brother says, and say a prayer in your heart. We all need those prayers. Say in your prayer in your heart for his comfort and peace as he's up here. And so it's a pleasure to introduce Apostle Jeffrey Oldham.
Thank you, David. Good morning. It's not like you haven't heard my voice already this morning. Let me turn this on. I know everybody's probably already wondering what I'm going to preach on. Oh, wait, you can see it, right? So I do have a question to get started. I found this picture, and I remember growing up seeing this picture. Did Grandma Nast have this picture in her house? I remember seeing this. For some reason, I thought of Grandma when I saw this, and it doesn't matter, but I want you to draw kind of a mental picture of if you were an individual setting in this area at this time. You know, this is an artist's rendering of the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to think about what would be that emotion or what would be that feeling. If you were just with me in the Sunday school class downstairs, I would ask questions. I would call Cameron out or I'd call Millie out and ask questions. I won't do that. I told them I promised I wouldn't this morning. But, you know, in your mind, think about what would be that emotion. What would you see if you were setting, if you were one of the individuals setting down on the ground and you were able to watch Jesus deliver the Sermon on the Mount, what would be the emotion inside of you? Would it be fear? Would it be anxiety? Would it be, yeah, exactly. Millie just said it, joy, right? So we just talked about that in our Sunday school class. And I'll tell you, it's I've been reading a lot about anxiety. I've been reading a lot lately about fear. Not because, you know, for any particular reason. I'm frankly somewhat intrigued by it a little bit right now. I feel that fear and anxiety is an emotion that I have no doubt it overcomes us. I grew up as an individual that, and my wife can attest to, I'm not someone who typically fears or worries about something. But I've been reading, and frankly, I feel it in my own life. It used to be considered the older you grew, the less fear and worry you would have. Now, I look at my Uncle Steve, and I see the smile on his face. He's retired. He's enjoying retirement. He doesn't have a lot of fear and anxiety, right? But as grandparents, as parents, as adults, as we continue to grow older, fear and anxiety doesn't go away. As encouragement for young people, fear and anxiety, I would tell you, is something that is so prevalent in our lives, is so prevalent in our society that, in my opinion, it's becoming one of these things that you hear somebody talk about having an anxiety attack. I grew up not remembering hearing people talking about anxiety attacks. But this fear and anxiety is something, and I hate to harp on it, but it's something that I want to really reinforce. Where does fear and anxiety come from? In our Sunday school class, we read Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Right? What does that talk about? The fruits of the Spirit. Are the fruits of the Spirit something good, or is fruits of the Spirit something bad? Where do the fruits of the Spirit come from? Where does the good things within our life come from? Worry and fear is not one of those good things. It's not one of those fruits of the Spirit. And so I want to talk about that. I saw a quote, and I'm actually going to reference it a little bit later in my comments. But I saw a quote, and it said, and I want you to think about this. Actually, I think I've got it. If you want to know your past, look into your present conditions. If you want to know your future, look into your present actions. I like that quote. I'm going to draw on it a little bit later, but it's something that we'll kind of dive into. I'm going to spend the majority of my time and my comments here this morning in Matthew 6, 24 through 34. I'm going to read this fairly quickly, and then we're going to kind of dive in a little bit deeper into it. So Matthew 6, 24, I have all my scriptures up here, and so if you want to just follow along here, that's great too. Matthew 6, reading from the Sermon on the Mount. This is Christ, Jesus Christ, speaking to the people, speaking to and teaching and preaching to the people that are there listening. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat and body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit into his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass in the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So I want you to really kind of, I know this isn't the first time that everybody's read this scripture, that has seen this scripture. This isn't a new scripture at all. We've heard the Sermon on the Mount, but I really want to really kind of try to dissect this a little bit and really get into these scriptures. You know, reason is the reason why we see, I believe the reason why we see alcoholism today. I think it feeds that. I think there's a huge rise in our society of marijuana and the use of recreational marijuana. And I think that while it serves a purpose, it is also overused and it's abused. I think that all too often we let fear and worry drive us crazy. I'll tell you my own personal story or kind of the example that I've had in my life. I have a 21-year-old son that is absolutely driving me crazy right now. I love my son to death. I love Braden to death. And I can pick on Braden because he's not here. But, you know, Braden is going through tons of changes in his life, right? No differently than Trent. I know where Trent's at. Trent's engaged. He's going to get married. It's easy for me, right? But Braden is going through something, applying for medical schools, and he's going through all of the emotions of fear and unknown. So Braden took this. He had to take an MCAT test. And MCAT is what gets someone into medical school. You have to take the test. Braden had taken the test, and the day had come for the results of the test, and he was nervous, and he called me up. And I remember I was at one of my offices, and I'm standing kind of looking out a window, and he tells me his score. And I can tell you, Braden applies a lot of pressure on himself. Braden, if it's anything less than just perfect, it just tears him up emotionally. And his score was less than perfect. You know, it's a kid who has almost a 4.0 going all the way through college, a 3.97, very, very good academics. He takes this test, and he didn't do as good as he thought he should. Now, to me, to Trent, we'd be jumping up and down and we'd be excited that we got this great score, right? But to Braden, emotionally, it absolutely tore him up. He was worried. I get emotional about it because I worry about my son. Right? We worry about our children. I see little Lainey, and as a parent, as an uncle, right? I worry about the future that she faces, right? I see Samantha starting as a freshman in college. I worry about her future and what she faces. And so when I start worrying, right, I'm somebody that I want to be in control. Right? We all want to be in control, and we want to control that, whatever may be going on. I can't control Braden's score. I can't control what's going to happen or where he's going to get accepted or what will happen. Sorry, I get emotional about this, but the discussion that Braden and I had and what it really led into for us was, what happens when we're so fearful and we can't control something? What do we have available to us? It's not a trick question. See, so many times I think so many times in our lives that we have this worry, we have this anxiety. I know for me, when I have a lot of things going on and I'm worrying about things and I'm concerned, you know, it's crazy. I have a new job and I love my new job. I shouldn't say I love my new job. I enjoy my new job. It's fun. It's challenging. It's you know, forcing me to think differently about how we do things and how we attack. Business is horrible right now. I came into a business that is falling very fast. I don't have to take responsibility for that. It's my job to help boost it up now. Right? But you know, I don't worry about stuff like that. The market's down, sales are down, 2 months, we've been in the red, we didn't make money. I don't worry about that, right? I know that we can engage and we can do things to improve that. What I worry about is I worry about my kids, I worry about my nieces and nephew, I worry about those things within our life, I worry about this church and this local, I worry about the people that as we go out, right, I can't fix what my kids face, or I can't fix what my mother-in-law is going through. But what do we have to draw upon? We have a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we can get down on our knees and we can take comfort and we can take strength in that. Sorry, I've got tons of notes and I'm not even following them. I'm convinced and I truly believe that there is phenomenal opportunity within Christ's words. Go to the 24th verse. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate. Thank you, Uncle Steve. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So what is mammon? We're going to dissect this verse a little bit. Love of money. How interesting. So it's really interesting that clearly the people that were there at that time had a love of money. And how great is it that we don't face that same challenge in our lives here today? Right? I mean, it's clearly what was an example in the time of Christ's teaching is clearly something that we face in our own lives today. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take not no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? You know, I really think those are really, really important verses for us. Right? We can't serve two masters. Do we serve two masters in our lives? Absolutely. And we struggle with that. As humans, we struggle with that. We struggle with, you know, that we have a job and we have a responsibility and we feel like that we serve that master. We have responsibilities as parents, and it was really cool talking to the kids downstairs. Trent, you should feel very lucky. If you grew up in the McGee household, in sixth grade, you started washing your clothes. Right? How awesome is that, that they were taught, right? But think about that, you know? It's that we have those responsibilities in life. We have those responsibilities. As an uncle, I have a responsibility to my nieces and nephews to help raise them up, to help encourage my brother and my sister-in-law. As members of Christ, we have a responsibility, but all too often, where is our focus? Where is our focus in our lives? And that's the point that we've got to really focus on, or that we got to draw on here. Now, that doesn't mean that Trenton can go out from here and he doesn't have to worry about doing a job anymore, right? He can just leave here. He can not move back in with mom and dad, right? It's we have responsibilities. We have to still take action. I truly believe, you know, back on that verse that I want to focus, or that I said, if you want to know your past, look into your present conditions. If you want to know your future, look into your present actions. Why is that important for us? What does that mean for us? What are the present actions that we are taking? Anybody ever save money? Why do we save money? Anybody have a 401k? Rick, you have a 401k, right? Why do you put money in your 401k? For the future. Why does that matter? Right? Because it says right here that I don't have to worry about my future, right, Rick?
True.
But do we still have to take actions? And I think the same thing applies in our spiritual lives. Right? It's more than just showing up to church. It's more than just reading the scriptures every once in a while. It's more than just watching a movie that kind of tells you a story about Jesus. What is it in our lives that we have to do? We have to take action. We have to take steps. We have to make investments. You know, I'm not going to stand up here and say, you know, invest this percent and this is what drives towards future retirement. Frankly, that's what I worry about. Do I have enough for retirement? It's crazy. All of a sudden, I woke up one day, and that's what I'm worrying about. It's nuts. Right? But for all of us, we have fears. We have worries. We have concerns. So where do we draw this strength? Okay, I hope I don't offend anybody with this. But I was reading about this phenomenon called a dog mom. Anybody know what a dog mom is? Kevin, do you know what a dog mom is? If you come in our neighborhood, there is a lady, there is definitely a dog mom in our neighborhood. She has her dog in a stroller, and she is walking the dog in the stroller in our neighborhood. And Michelle can attest, it is the truth. We see her pretty regularly, right? But everybody knows a dog mom. I used to work with a dog mom, single lady that had a dog that was everything in her life, right? And where is the focus, right? I just want to kind of do something funny, just kind of draw your attention a little differently. Where is the focus of the dog mom? The dog, absolutely, right? Everything they post online is about the dog. Everything they do in their lives is about the dog, right? Good news is she's investing in the dog. Not the good news, right? Turn with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter, 9th through the 13th verse. After this manner, therefore, pray. Actually, I want to go back. And I want to go back to, I think it's really important that we draw our attention on and that we draw our focus into Christ. The example that we had, Galatians 5, that we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning is those fruits of the Spirit. What are those good things that we have within our life? And I think that it's really vital and it's really important to understand what we are being taught here. This verse, it continues on and it says down in the 30th verse, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying what you shall eat or what you shall drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed. In the 33rd verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I think, you know, the perfect example that we have is with Lainey and the blessing. And you see this new baby come in. You know, where does Lainey go for her food? Jason, does she get up in the middle of the night and go down to the kitchen and grab a bottle? No. Jason doesn't go get the bottle. Liz goes, oh, Jason does? Oh, wow. Learn something new today, Jason. That's right. Good subservient husband. That's right. Right, but I think it's the same thing. And so how do we draw that example and how do we draw that comparison in our lives? And the point that I want to draw on is that we are taught, you know, do we have things that we will continue to fear? Do we have things that we will continue to have anxiety over? You know, Mike's retired. He's been retired for a while. He doesn't have to worry about the shop anymore. Does Mike still have fear and anxiety in his life? Absolutely he does. But that strength and where we draw on. And, you know, I think that we are taught, you know, earlier in that Matthew chapter 6, we're taught how to pray and we're taught what to do. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, I think that, you know, much like what I started with saying you know, what we're told is I think sometimes we're taught to fear. We're taught to have this anxiety, and clearly this isn't something from Christ. You know, I was reading an article, and it talked about counselors and how counselors ask questions. I've really been trying to read how to ask better questions. Sounds odd, and it's crazy. I was reading this book on these counselors and what they were talking about. And I think it's the same thing that Christ is teaching us in this Sermon on the Mount. But how many of you ever had trouble sleeping? And Melissa, absolutely. And when I went for a long time in my life and never had any trouble sleeping. But then all of a sudden, I was on a trip, and it just happened for the first time that I remember in a long, long time. I was in Sweden, and I literally could not sleep. And what happens when you can't sleep? Yeah, brain starts going. You start thinking. They tell you not to open up and turn on your phone. Why is that? Sensory. You start turning and you start churning. I see my sister-in-law every once in a while post comments in the middle of the night because I know she has trouble sleeping sometimes. Right? And so, you know, this experience kind of spurred a thought and kind of spurred a question. And they talked about, you know, how we walk ourselves through is when you go a night and you can't sleep, what do you start worrying about? Everything, short of everything, right? And so this counselor talked about in this experience that they go through, and it says, you know, so you go to this counselor, you ask him about, you know, I can't sleep. I'm worried. I won't be able to fall asleep tonight. And you know, when you go several nights not being able to sleep, what do you worry about during the day before you go to bed? Not sleeping that night, right? And so this counselor, and it kind of walks you through these questions. Okay, and the counselor says, you know, you go to the counselor, I'm worried, I won't be able to fall asleep tonight. Counselor says, well, what if you can't fall asleep tonight? There's a purpose behind these questions, and I want you to think about these questions because I feel like sometimes in the verses that we're reading from and the Sermon on the Mount that we're drawing from is the Lord is asking us questions. He asked the people on the Sermon on the Mount questions to spur that thought, right? We can't serve two masters. Why can't we serve two masters? Because where is our focus and where is our attention? So this counselor says, well, what if you can't fall asleep tonight? You answer, I guess I'm going to be really tired tomorrow, right? When you can't sleep at night, you're really tired. Well, what if you are really tired tomorrow? I guess I'm going to be really tired tomorrow. And counselor says, can you make it a day being really tired? Well, I guess I can. And ultimately, what I'm driving at is, and the point I'm trying to get to is that the Lord isn't going to come, and as a parent, I can't go to my boys, and I can't fix always what ails them. But what I can do, and what I can draw on, and what I can encourage us is that, you know, we're taught in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through 13th verse, we're taught how to pray. In Mark 14, it says, "And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him." We know what this is. "And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will." You know, we believe and we truly know that, you know, there are challenges that we will face. There are trials that we will face. There are issues and opportunities that we face. In Philippians, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ." I want to kind of draw this all together. And I know I kind of spent a lot of time on the verse, and I really want to kind of draw our attention in on what is fear and what is worry. What is it? We've talked about it. I've asked the question before. What is fear and what is worry?
Tools of Satan.
Absolutely. Tools of Satan. Do we face trials and temptations in our lives? Absolutely we do. And I think that, you know, the opportunity is, or the challenge is, I say opportunity too much. What's the most repeated commandment or command in all of the Bible? What word is used? What?
Fear not.
Fear not. So I Googled it. I looked, if assuming Google is right on everything. It says that the word fear or fear not is said 366 times. Oh, different, right? But pretty close. 366 times in the Bible that fear not is mentioned. Right? Why are we continually reinforced with fear not? Why are we told to fear not? God's in control. Absolutely. Thank you. Can you believe that? I found an article, and this says, this old Puritan named John Owen, he shared a quote. Essentially, he said, "It is irrational for a Christian to worry, because in doing so, a Christian would be saying, God, I trust you with all my eternity, just not with Thursday." That's so strong, it's irrational to say, God, I trust you with everything, I surrender all. You've got it, the sun, the moon, the stars, and you hold everything together by the word of your power, but you can't handle my presentation that I have Tuesday. It's irrational because as Christians, we know there's a Heavenly Father who has promised, I've got you. I will provide for your needs, and you can trust in me because I love you. And I fully displayed that once and for all on the cross, in dying in your place, you can trust me with today and with tomorrow and with everything you have. It has been well said before that as Christians, we do not know what tomorrow holds, but we're the ones who know who holds tomorrow. As Christians, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we're the only people on the planet who know the one who holds tomorrow, and he's our Heavenly Father who loves us, cares about you, is committed and promised to you. I will meet your needs and have ultimately met your greatest need by dying in your place. Finally, Jesus doesn't cover the reason, but he gives a remedy that was so helpful and practical and really transformative in his life. Right, and it drills down right into that 33rd verse. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know, if I could take or if I could give the one lesson to Lainey here today, right? And selfishly you get to hear it, right? But the lesson and the encouragement I have, and I realize that she can't hear me, right? But if I could give one lesson to her here today, fear not. Right? Will you think Lainey's going to have fear in her life? She maybe face challenges and maybe face some fearful things. Macy is a perfect little baby, right? Is she going to face challenges in her life?
Fear not. But while we fear, why we know that human experience, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My encouragement for each of us here today is that we seek the Lord. Something that our society needs. It's something that our world needs. We need Christ. We need love. We need compassion. We need forgiveness. We need the opportunity to recognize that when we are fearful, when we are afraid, we have someone to draw on. We have a perfect Savior who has set the perfect plan, who gives us perfect comfort. Now, when I know my child is going through those challenging times, it's hard just to get down on my knees and just pray and trust. But that is the only avenue, and that's the path that we have. It's not saying that we can't take actions, that we can't take steps, right? Trenton, you still got to invest. You still got to put money in your 401k. You still got to plan for that future that may be there. But recognize where we draw on that strength in our lives, and it is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Brother Jeff. You know, I think message we all needed, especially me. I,